This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 123.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Jan Ilunga, and we're talking sales and specifically sales funnels. Now, it's quite a long interview, but there is so much value in it that I really do think you need to grab a pen and paper now because you're going to learn so much in this episode. And because it's a long episode, I'm not going to spend too much time talking at the beginning. I'm going to go straight into the interview. Joining me on the show today is Jan Ilunga. Now, Jan is a podcaster and a podcasting expert who also helps entrepreneurs to create automated systems that generate leads and increase sales. Now, as this is the first episode of the new year and a time many of us are thinking about making more money in the coming year, I thought it would be great to get him on the show to talk about sales and specifically how to create sales funnels. So welcome to the show, Jan.
Happy New Year, Janet. Happy New Year, everybody. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling very rested, actually. I was feeling quite tired as we came into Christmas because I've done a lot in the last year, but I'm happy to say I'm feeling very rested now and I've enjoyed lots of good food and drink over the new year and now I've just got to run it all off. What about you?
Yeah, I pretty much have had a similar type of Christmas. I'm a food person. I love eating. So I got to eat a lot and ready for 2017 to rock.
Yes, definitely. Well, thanks very much for joining me. And might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you and your journey so far?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. So similarly to you, Janet, I have a background in communication. So I studied communications both at my bachelor's and master's level. And now, as you said, I'm a podcaster. I work with people interested in podcasting and I'm an entrepreneur. So I also focus on areas like digital sales, as you well said in the intro. And basically, the way I kind of stumbled into this space is that because of my background, so I'm originally from the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland. So that's where my macaroni accent comes from. And I used to work at a music festival there, and I worked there for 3 years, I don't remember. And basically, because of the languages, I speak Italian is my mother tongue, and then I speak English, obviously, French, German, and some Finnish. And because of the languages at the festival, I really got to do many different things. It was an international music festival, so I got to do interviews for radios in Italian, translations in English, newspaper articles, and so forth. So I really, really enjoyed all the communications world and, you know, the social aspect of that. So getting to network, interact with people and so forth. And years ago, after traveling across Europe with a friend of mine, I ended up in Finland where I wanted to do my master's. And then as I was studying, as time passed during my master's, I was like, yeah, it would be nice to kind of do my own thing. But I was like, I kind of didn't know exactly what the thing would be. And then one day I took a break. I think I was studying for an exam or something. And Janet, I have to tell you, I'm a person who I could literally put some headphones on as soon as I wake up and I could fall asleep to music. I love listening to music. But there I somehow needed a break. So I was like, yeah, I still want to listen to something, but I don't want to listen to music. So I just did a random Google search, and I came across this thing called podcasts. I had no idea what podcasts were. I started to listen to a couple. I really got hooked. And then I said to myself, hey, that could be actually a very interesting angle for me to kind of get started. And I already have some connections because of the experiences at the festival. So that's where my first podcast was born, the Jazz Spotlight podcast. However, because I was interested in the entrepreneurial and digital marketing space, I couldn't exactly interview some people I was interested in connecting with on a music business show. That's why I was thinking, okay, how can I connect with people who are in that space? How can I do it? How can I do it? And then I decided to launch my second podcast, the one that people quote unquote know me for, which is called 360 entrepreneur. So there, it's really a show that focuses on entrepreneurship. And here I am still going strong. So as we said, I mean, I focus on podcasting, entrepreneurship, and digital marketing.
And quick nosy question, are you a musician yourself?
That's a question I get asked often. And I say, unfortunately, I'm not. I mean, I do play bass guitar, but I'm a musician for fun, meaning I just play by myself or I've jammed with some friends. But unfortunately, I'm not a musician. I wish I were.
It's quite interesting because lots of the entrepreneurs that I speak to or interview, quite a lot of them are musical. I mean, I play for fun. I'm an amateur musician, very, very amateur, but it's a big part of my life. And I think that many entrepreneurs I speak to are the same.
And what instrument do you play?
All sorts. So I sing a little bit. I play the piano. And I was actually going to study music at college when I was younger, but I decided that I would go off and be a journalist. And because that was easier, I was better at that, which is terrible, isn't it? But yeah, I do come across a lot of entrepreneurial types who are also musical or artistic. So I definitely think it's that creative streak, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So that's given us your journey to where you are now. Now, I know you're an expert in many things and your website really is kind of testament to that, because when you go onto your website, it's just so brilliantly laid out. So you've got your kind of landing page, which immediately invites you to download some really useful content. But what I love about your about page, it says, what do you need help with? And you can either choose blogging or podcasting or sales funnels, I think, if we've got that right. But so I know that you're an expert in lots of things, but for this episode, I really wanted to kind of hone in on sales and sales funnels, because I know that for a lot of the women that I work with in particular, who are at the start of their business journey, they find the whole idea of sales and sales funnels a little bit scary. So I thought maybe we could just break it down for them and make it feel a lot more simple. So I wondered if you might want to start out by just talking about what sales funnels actually are.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking that question, Janet, because I think it's such a critical question. And I think that the cool thing about this topic is that it doesn't really matter what your business looks like, what you sell. It doesn't really matter if you are online, if your ideal customer is online. Then if you don't have a sales funnel, you're actually missing out on something. So simply put, a sales funnel is an automated process that allows you to have somebody do something, and that something could be visit a specific page on your website or listen to a podcast episode if you have a podcast, or maybe checking a specific image you posted on Instagram or watching one of the Facebook Live videos you may have published on your page, in your group. It doesn't really matter. The idea with a sales funnel, as I said, is the automated process that takes a person who's consuming content in some form and takes them through a journey where they get to know more about you, they get to like you, they get to trust you. And then at the end of this journey, there is the pitch of a premium offer. So that's a product or service you are selling. And the thing with sales, Janet, in general, and obviously now I'm generalizing a bit, but I think especially when we're starting out, we think about our products or our services. And when we think about sales, we think about, okay, a sale or the sale process has to be this huge process, something like Black Friday, right? Where we go crazy, we work a lot, we try to reach thousands of people and so forth. But actually, a sales funnel, in essence, in its core foundation, is relatively simple. It's just a couple of steps. And if you like, we can go over each step.
Yeah, it'd be really good if you could break it down into really simple steps for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have, Janet, an example of a product or service that, let's say you and I, we want to sell something. What would that something be?
Okay,
what would be the sales funnel around it?
How about I give you an example of one of my products, and then you can talk to me about the sales funnel that you would build around it. And then I can tell you what I did. And you can tell me if I'm right.
All right.
So just before Christmas, well, actually, I think it still will be on sale now, actually, as this goes live, I created a media diary. So this is an A4 desk diary that people can use to plan out their media for the coming year. So it's got anniversaries, key dates on there. It's got awareness days. So the idea being, I'm just looking at my calendar on my wall. So for example, on the 16th of January, it's Blue Monday. So if you've got all those things plotted out over the year and you've got, you know, things like International Women's Day and you've got Wimbledon or whatever, that you can start to think of ideas that you might be able to pitch into the media around that. But also, obviously, you can think about social media ideas, ideas for your blog or your podcast, and also actually for social media posts as well. So I'd had this idea for a while. I've been creating a calendar, a free downloadable calendar for a few years now. And I thought, well, why not turn this into a diary? It can be quite a low price product that, you know, doesn't require people to make a big financial investment up front. And I can create a bit of a funnel around it. So might you be able to talk a little bit about how you would approach a product like that?
Is it a digital product or a physical product?
It's a physical product. So it's an A4 proper physical diary.
Okay, I think that the first thing, and for this specific example, I think that the first step is to ask oneself, who is the ideal customer? So why would a person buy this thing? Or what is that person struggling with? Or how would the calendar help them? So in that case, it's probably somebody who wants to become more productive or wants to have an overview of, as you said, of what's happening throughout the year, special dates, celebrations, and so forth, that one can use and write content that revolves around those, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Perfect. So once we have identified who the ideal customer is, the step is to understand that if somebody visits your site, for example, Janet, and the first thing you do is like, hey, buy my calendar, a person may be like, wait, I don't even know you. And somehow there is a disconnect in the digital space, because if we were selling something offline, we wouldn't just meet somebody down the street and say, hey, buy my stuff. We would, first of all, introduce ourselves, see, you know, try to get to know the person, see if he or she would be a good client or not. But somehow in the digital space, some people are just the first thing, bam, give me your credit card information. I want you to give me your money. And it doesn't really work like that. The first thing we have to do is keep in mind that not everybody may know who Janet Murray is, number one, or what Soulful PR is about and so forth. So number one, there is that. And number two, we have to understand that people want to trust us. But in order to do that, we have to do something for people to trust us. And in this specific example, I think one of the best thing to do, and obviously it applies to your case, Janet, but it applies, I dare to say, to pretty much anybody who's here with you and I, is to create some type of free downloadable content that revolves around your premium offer. First of all, sorry, let me take a step back. When we talk about downloadable resource, is something that we give to people in exchange for their email address. And that resource could be anything, a PDF file, a short audio recording, one video. And it doesn't have to be something super huge, super complicated. For example, if it's a PDF, half a page, one page could do the trick, could be more than enough. And sometimes we think, yeah, we have to create this 251 page long ebook to give people so that they're gonna give us their email address in return. It's not true. So in this case, an example of a PDF could be something like...
Shall I tell you what I created?
Okay, yeah. And then I'll tell you, maybe it's the same, let's see.
You can give me marks out of 10. So the product was a physical desk diary, so a hard copy, but I created, and it was a done-for-you version, so with, you know, a thousand dates already done for you in the diary and space for places to put notes and to jot down story ideas and journalist contact details and that kind of thing. The free PDF that I created was a do-it-yourself version. So it was a very beautiful looking calendar that you could download, and it had instructions on how to create a media calendar. And I've actually got that on my wall. I'm looking at it right now because I use both. So I use the calendar, the printable, in conjunction with the diary, and that works really well for me. So I used Facebook advertising to get people to download the free calendar, and then wrote a series of emails. So when people downloaded the free calendar, I wrote a series of emails, which but she's added to the tip. So, you know, here's your calendar. And then we had a series of emails. How are you getting on with your calendar? Just thought I'd share another tip with you that might help. And then we sent another email a week later. Just how are you getting on with your calendar? Here's another few tips that might work for you. Is that the kind of thing that you would suggest?
Before I answer your question, since you kind of touched upon that, the structure of a funnel, so that we are talking about the entry level of the funnel. So that's the lead magnet, the free resource. We have a downloadable resource that we give in exchange for people email addresses. We have an automated email sequence, as you hinted, and then we have our premium product. This is the bare bone structure of a sales funnel, really keeping it down to the bare minimum. Now, to your case, Janet, I really like the idea of the do-it-yourself calendar or the digital calendar so that one can get started right away. The only thing is that I feel that if somebody were kind of really, really, really looking for guidance, so not only for the resource, but for your kind of your guidance, a video element to what you did could have been maybe better, in the sense that I'm sure that in the email sequence, you said you shared an additional tip and so forth, but perhaps something like having the do-it-yourself downloadable resource, and then when somebody gives you their email address, they get an automated email where there could be, for example, a short 2-minute video of you saying, hey, thank you so much for downloading the do-it-yourself calendar. I'm here to help you take the first step. So here's how I use it. And you would show, okay, in January, let's say we have this date, this date, this date. So in my case, I would mark down this date. I would write here whatever it is and so forth. Because somehow with the do-it-yourself only, quote-unquote only approach, one may feel like, oh, okay, I like the fact that you're kind of giving me a blank canvas, but then I would like to have a little bit of guidance. The idea I was thinking for what you just shared, Janet, is even easier than that. And it's something, for example, as simple as 5 dates every blank. So it could be every female entrepreneur, any artist, any digital creative should mark on their calendar and why.
Yeah,
so when one downloads that, and that is something that it's relatively simple to create, because you could create something where you add a couple of dates. Let's say, you know, it could be Black Friday, and then you could add a couple of dates that, for generally speaking, may not tell anything to people. But you could say, okay, for me, for example, I've noticed that this weekend works very well for this and this reason. So I would encourage you to check out. So something as simple as that. The idea is that the free resource we give is the appetizer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You said you talked about Facebook advertising, and we can talk about that in a moment. Is it okay for you if we talk about what happens after one gets the free resource?
And can I just give you a little bit of feedback on your feedback, actually?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because I think people will find this useful to hear, actually, because I found it worked really well for me. I sold lots of diaries off the back of this calendar. But some people said, and this is something I'm thinking about for next year, some people downloaded the calendar and then emailed and said, this is just a blank calendar. Now, actually, it wasn't a blank calendar. There were instructions on how to use it. And but people just looked at it and they didn't read the first part of it, which said, here's your calendar, here's how to use it. And so as you was talking about a video, I was thinking, God, yeah. And I was thinking, yeah, what I need to do next year is actually maybe to give them a month or two where we do give them the dates, or just to find some way so that people don't feel completely stranded. Because I had a couple of people who commented on the Facebook ad itself, and I was able to go back to them and say, have you actually looked at the calendar? Because actually, you know, you do get instructions and it does explain it.
Right.
But, you know, what we were selling in my diary, you can buy those dates alone for £30-35, something like that, you know. So me giving that all away as a freebie just doesn't make business sense at all. But I love your idea about the video, and I love your idea about giving people some dates or 5 dates. I certainly felt, you know, when I was reflecting on how that worked as a lead magnet, that I needed to do something to give people a little bit more support how to use it. So I thought people might find it interesting to hear me sort of riffing with you a little bit about that, because I think I got some great ideas just from that conversation. So sorry, go on.
I think, you know, it what you just said, I think, is very telling, because it's important to keep in mind that a funnel, sure, it's something that we can set up and it works pretty much on autopilot, but then sometimes we may get some feedback like what you just shared. I think that's a golden thing that happened because, you know, it was clear that for some people, it was made clear that some people didn't understand how the quote-unquote process worked. So something like having a video or even explanation by email, it's something that definitely helps. And if somebody is here with you and I, Janet, and she's like, well, Jan, Janet, I don't want to be on camera, no problem. You could even simply record your computer screen or even just create one slide where you show, okay, so this is how I use my calendar. Here I put the date, here I put, I don't know, the content ideas, and here I put the products. This is how I use it. Hopefully you can do something similar. Something as easy as that can have a very powerful effect.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Once we have our lead magnet, it's important to understand that, as you just kind of told us, Janet, different people will have a different experience with the resource we make available. So it is our job to make sure that we help them throughout the journey. And it goes without saying that if we were to do that manually, especially if you're a person who has an international audience, or your ideal customer is you may be in the UK, your ideal customer is, I don't know, in Australia, for example. If you were to do this manually, you would be in front of your computer 24/7. However, it is possible with pretty much any email marketing service. The one I use, Janet, is called ActiveCampaign. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, I use Infusionsoft. And so regular listeners to the show will have heard me talking about that. And I guess there's pros and cons to whatever service or software you decide to go with.
Yeah, absolutely. But basically, Infusionsoft, ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, pretty much any email marketing service gives you the function of creating an automated email sequence, which is also known in more quote-unquote technical terms, an autoresponder series. In case you don't have an email service yet and you're considering one, make sure that the one you go for has that feature. So basically what you can do is you can sit in front of your computer, open up your email marketing software, and you create, you write an email. And then you could say, okay, I want this email to be sent out whenever somebody downloads the free PDF calendar, the free checklist, whatever your lead magnet is. So basically, by me downloading your free resource, Janet, that action triggers the email sequence. So if you put the parameter where you say, okay, the first email is sent 5 minutes after a person downloads the freebie, what happens 5 minutes after I downloaded the freebie, I will get your first email. So you can create an email sequence. And I've seen email sequences as part of a sales funnel that are like 3-4 emails long. And I've seen some that are 30 emails long. So there isn't really any right and wrong number when it comes to the email sequence. You should think that the email sequence has a couple of jobs. The first one, as we touched already on, is to make sure that it builds on your downloadable resource. So you make sure that the person, first of all, got it. And here, I have a strategy on this. Can I share it, Janet?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Great. And this is something that I'm not a wizard, so I didn't come up with it. I learned this from Ryan Levesque, the author of a book called Ask. And there is an email, automated email, that I think everybody should have in their arsenal. And is the, did you get the freebie email? So basically, that's an email that you, as I said, you write one time and is automatically sent when somebody downloads a specific resource. And the reason why that email works so well is for two things. Actually, first of all, the content of the email is very simple. In my case, it would be something like, hey, Janet, thank you so much for joining the community. I just wanted to make sure that you got the PDF okay. Could you hit reply to let me know? In case you didn't get it, here's the link where you can download it. Thanks, Jan. An email like this is powerful and useful for a couple of reasons. First of all, as we said, you just make sure that that person actually got the resource, because, you know, maybe there is the link that doesn't work or things like that. So with that email, if there are some problems with the PDF or whatever free resource you get, people are actually going to tell you. So that's the first reason. But the second reason why this email works like a charm is that right from the get-go, it makes people understand that your newsletter, the experience they're going to have with your email list, is not an experience that is vertical, where you're up, they are down, and you talk to them, and that's it. It's basically a monologue. It's a one-way communication. No, it's an actual conversation. Is you sharing something, but then sometimes is you asking something and you expect an answer, a reply. So people know that, unlike many other newsletters where people, whenever you get an email, it's because the person or the company wants to sell something. By you having an email where you simply ask, hey, I just wanted to make sure that you got the free ebook, okay? Hit reply and let me know. People get used to replying to your emails, which is very good. And there is a third reason why this email works so well, is that if you have a series of emails for your newsletter that you send, and these emails can be sent automatically or manually, and I don't open it, I receive the first, I don't open it, I receive the second, I don't open it, and so forth. After some time, Gmail or Yahoo or whatever email you use or your email list subscribers use are going to see your emails as spam, because they see, hey, Janet is emailing this Jan guy, but he never opens the emails. And that's why sometimes some of our emails, even though they aren't spam, may end up in the spam folder or in the social promotions folder, because the person gets over a long period of time, let's say over a 3, 4, 5 months time, they get 5, 6, 10, 20 emails and they are never open. So in Gmail's and Yahoo's eyes, those are spam. On the other hand, if you, Janet, send me the question, did you get the goodie? I just want to make sure. And I hit reply, in Gmail's eyes, in Yahoo's eyes, that's an actual conversation, because you send me an email and now I'm replying to your email. So what happens with that is that from then on, your emails are going to be less likely to end in the spam folder. Mm-hmm. So those are three reasons why I think that email is important.
That's now, a really great tip. And I don't do that at the moment, so I'm going to certainly add it into my sales funnel. So thank you.
No, you're welcome. And it's interesting because an additional element to that, and that kind of become a little bit more technical, but basically doing this kind of thing also allows you to identify people who engage immediately with you, people who reply, and then those are the people that you may want to, for example, send that email where you ask them, what is it that you're struggling with and so forth, so that you really get to know more about them. That's a different, all a completely different animal, but you know, for more advanced things, that's definitely something that can be done. And tools like Infusionsoft, ActiveCampaign allow you to do these things automatically, where if somebody is very engaged, for example, you can add what is called a tag, so some kind of element that the person doesn't see, but you see, so that then you could decide to reach out to that person or people who are under that category or with the tag. So once we have our, did you get the freebie email? We have to think about what are the next steps. So once a person has downloaded our free calendar, so for example, yeah, the 5 dates you should every women entrepreneur should have on her calendar. The next, we should ask ourselves, okay, what is the next step? Once somebody has downloaded the calendar, what is the next step? And how can we help people take the next step? So in the example of that resource, the next step could be an actual example of you or somebody you work with or somebody who you follow who did something interesting around a specific date. So you could say, okay, this person, let's take Black Friday as an example. One could say, okay, we all know that Black Friday is the time of the year where there are the big sales and blah, blah, blah. And I included that in the calendar, but that's not the reason why I included that date. Sure, it is important, but it's important because you shouldn't do what everybody else is doing and just throw discounts at people, but you should try to be more creative and do something like, and I don't know, you would mention the person, let's say like Sarah Williams did, and then you would have your case study. So in that case, what we do is we help people take the next step and we give them more examples, more social proof. So we say, all right, so you got the resource. I showed you, if we have the video, I showed you how I use it. And now we've seen somebody else who has done something interesting. So that's an additional component.
For example, I'm just thinking of something that somebody's actually done over the last few days, but somebody who's written a post for the Huffington Post about dry January and tips on how to be alcohol-free in January. So naming that person, linking to their article, that could be a really good, nice email, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the important thing is that there is a connection between the free resource, the premium offer, that is what is at the end of the funnel, and the article, in this case, you would mention. If there is a connection, then absolutely. And the cool thing is that it doesn't necessarily have to be something you have done yourself or some of your clients. It could even be somebody who, you know, you look up to and may not know who you are, but it's definitely something that is still useful for the person who just signed up for your newsletter to know. So we would have something like that. And the idea is that our email sequence must do a few things. And this doesn't really matter if your email sequence is 3-4 emails long or 30, as I said early on. And if you're wondering, Janet, I will share later on how one could use a 30-day long email sequence and still make it effective.
Yes, please. Yeah.
All right. So when we look at your email sequence, again, doesn't matter if it's 4 emails or 30 emails, we said the first step is to make sure that people take the next step. But that's only the beginning. Another thing that we have to do is to provide additional value. So we said it can be adding a case study, or it could be giving an additional bonus or something like that, that people are like, oh, wow, I didn't expect this. I originally joined this email list because I was interested in downloading this resource. But now Janet has showed me how she uses that, so I know how to get started. And then she had showed me a couple of other examples, so I have additional ideas on how I can turn this quote-unquote blank canvas, how some people thought of it, as something that can really help me do whatever it is you're doing, sell more products, sell more services, attract your ideal client, and so forth. Once you've done all that, it's important to keep in mind that we are trying to sell something, right? That's why we have a sales funnel. So once we have provided people with some value, we have to think, okay, we have our premium offer. So as we said, in this case, is the physical physical calendar. Now, the next step, so the second job our email sequence should have, is provide additional value to people and start to build a bridge between the narrative we have had up until this email and what we have at the end of the funnel. So, for example, in your case, Janet, after a couple of case studies and so forth, an email that could work very well and would start to take people toward the direction of the actual product is, okay, over the last few days, we talked about, you know, the 5 days every woman entrepreneur should have on her calendar. I shared some examples and so forth. But here's the thing. A year isn't made just of 5 dates. It's made of 12 months. There are many important dates. And in the next email, I'm going to show you how I map out the 20 most important dates for my business in, I don't know, let's say in 20 minutes. So what you would do in that email or video is you still build on the initial topic, which is, all right, here are the dates you should mark on your calendar. But then now we're saying not only that, not only you show people how to use their calendar, but you're like, okay, we've talked about 5 dates. Now let's expand our reach. Now I'm going to show you how to expand and cover 20 dates. It can be 10, it can be 30. It doesn't really matter how many. But basically here, you show people how to do something that is perceived as something that would take hours to do, like mapping out 20 dates. And you are able to show people how to do it in 20 minutes, half an hour, and so forth. So you would have an email or a video or something like that that shows that. The next email would be like, yesterday I showed you how I map out my year with 20 dates in, and how easy it is to do, how fast you can do it too. I understand that if you're starting out, it can feel a little bit overwhelming. That's why I created the, and what's the name of the calendar, Janet?
It's just called the Media Diary. So it's 2017 Media Diary.
Perfect. That's why I created the 2017 Media Diary. There I show you everything there is to know to go from a blank calendar to have a calendar where you have all the important dates that matter to you, your business, and your clients so that you don't miss out on any opportunity to capitalize on the next celebration, the next holiday, and so forth. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of the 2017 Media Diary. That email is so powerful because it continues the narrative. So it says, all right, yesterday I showed you this thing, but I understand that it could have felt a little bit overwhelming, or maybe you had questions, or you were like, oh, okay, I'm not sure how I can do that. That's why I created this thing where I show you everything there is to know. And tomorrow I'm going to give you a sneak peek. And if you are somebody who doesn't want to use video, again, the sneak peek doesn't necessarily have to be a video of you on camera. The reason why video works so well is that people get to hear you. Even if, you know, you show, in this case, for example, you would have your smartphone or your camera that films, let's say, only the calendar, so people see your hands, and that's pretty much it, or your hands and a pen or something like that, and that's it. But it's very powerful because people get to connect with you on a personal level because they can hear your voice and they can actually see what you do. And seeing is very important because I said I studied communication, and most of the communication we have is nonverbal, which is visual. So I said people can hear you, and that builds the person, human connection. But then there is also the visual element. So that's why I keep saying about video, where people actually see you do. So the next email, Janet, would be you giving people a sneak peek of the Media Diary. And then there we would make our soft pitch. So we wouldn't say, all right, this is it. You have to buy now. Absolutely not. We would make our pitch. And here's the thing. If you are selling the Media Diary, let's say at £30, and I come across that email and I see that the price is £30 and I don't have any particular incentive, I may be like, well, I'm going to wait. Maybe at some point the price decreases. I don't have that urgency. I'm like, well, okay. On the other hand, if you tell me the Media Diary usually costs £30, but for the next 48 hours, the price is 30% off, I'm going to be like, well, if I want to go for it, now would be a good time, because not only I get the value, I get to keep going with what I've been doing over the last few days with Janet and her emails, but I also would save some money. So my advice is, with your pitch, you would have an offer that is time sensitive to give people an incentive to buy. And again, Janet, one could be, well, but how do I do this? If I'm starting out, do I have to be in front of my computer all the time? Absolutely not. There is a fantastic tool that you can use. And would you like me to share it, Janet?
Yes, please.
Great. So this tool, the only downside of the tool is that it works only with WordPress. So if your site isn't on WordPress, unfortunately, it won't work because it's a WordPress plugin. It's a tool called Thrive Ultimatum. And what that does, it allows you to create campaigns and countdown timers, and you can create them any way you want. And some people may say, well, that isn't ethical and so forth. I personally believe, Jenna, that whenever it comes to business, it's your business. So you decide. And if you think that, okay, I want to make a discount available for people who join my email list and I want to give them a 2-day window of time, that's up to you. I personally don't see nothing wrong with that. So the way Thrive Ultimatum works, you can create different types of campaigns. So campaigns that revolve around specific dates, evergreen campaigns where you would say, okay, whenever a person sees this email and they go to this page, the countdown timer starts and is an actual countdown timer. So it's not like, yeah, if somebody goes back, the countdown timer is, you know, it's back to, yeah, you still have 48 hours. Absolutely not. It is triggered, so it's ethical urgency. And as I said, what that does, let people know that, hey, if you want to buy, now would be a great time because there is a discount or there is a special bonus or things like that. So I talked about soft pitch. And the idea of a soft pitch is to, as I said, we are giving people a sneak peek of the diary and we are saying, if you're interested in this, I have this special offer. If you buy within the next 48 hours or 72 hours, you get 30% off.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just to say that that's pretty much what we did, actually. I did a pre-order.
Okay.
I did a pre-order on my diary, but with a few changes. There was just a comment I wanted to add, actually. Mm-hmm. We did a pre-order because it was the first time I'd ever done it, and I didn't want to basically create the diary. You know, you don't want to go and get hundreds or thousands of diaries printed without knowing that people actually want to buy them. So we did a pre-order. So we basically said, you know, this is it. You can order it for this price, but you have to get in before this time. But mm-hmm. what we also did, and I think it's just worth saying, is there's usually a workaround of some sort, whatever it is that you're using, is that, and it's still going on now, actually, as we're recording this, but when people get into my sales funnel with the calendar, then they get to a certain point in the funnel where we'll make that offer and say, you know, you might want to have a look at my media diary. And if you get it in the next 72 hours, then here's a discount code that you can use. And we were able to do that with the forms, with the order forms in the back of Infusionsoft. So I guess it's mm-hmm. worth saying that there's usually workarounds, isn't there? Whatever you're using, there's usually a way of making it happen. And I often find people get quite bogged down in all of this, but there's usually a way, isn't there? It's usually easy to figure out something that will do that for you. But certainly that's worked really well for us. And when I'm seeing the orders coming through from my diary, I'm seeing mostly they are discounted orders where people have taken advantage of that 72-hour window. Now, as you're talking, I can hear loads and loads of things that I can improve on my funnel, and particularly my emails. I think listening to you, I just feel like I could do so much better in terms of how I link all the content together. And mm-hmm. basically, my campaign next year is going to be great, having listened to you today.
I'm happy to help.
I mean, just to share that was something that worked for us, and we managed to figure out a way of doing it on Infusionsoft just by creating a special order form that expired after a certain time. So there's usually, whatever you're using, there's usually a workaround, isn't there, to make these things happen?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And and as you said, it's something that can be done relatively easy. Again, it isn't rocket science. It's something that can be done relatively easy. And as you said, you said it, for you, it worked very well. And that's testament for the fact that certain people, even though they may be interested in something, they kind of need that incentive to, if they're on the fence, they're going to be, absolutely, I don't want to be paying the full price. I want to get this discount. Or, sure, I will pay the full price, but I see I will get this bonus. So I'm gonna buy the diary before the offer expires. So after the soft pitch, we shouldn't stop there, because not everybody sees our email, they see our thing. Oh, yeah, I love it, they buy. Not everybody things like that. Depending on whether we have a 48 or a 72 hour window, we should think about what a person may be asking themselves. So if somebody comes across the diary, they may have some questions. So something that works pretty well is an email where you basically ask some of the questions you think a person who's on the fence may ask themselves. And the subject line of that email could be something like, is the 2017 media diary for me? And then the question mark. And there in the email, you would say something like, hey, Jan, yesterday I showed you the media diary. And as you've seen, it is fantastic because it allows you to do A, B, C, D and so forth. I understand that you may have some questions about it, so I thought I would answer them here. And then basically you would write some of the frequently asked questions, some of the questions you think a person would get may think about. In your case, it could be, if I buy now, when is the diary going to be printed? When is it going to be mailed to me? These kind of questions. If you have a digital product, it could be something like, for how long will I have access? Is there a refund policy? These kind of things. So basically, the email, the layout of the email would be a question. You would write a sentence or two to answer it, just as a frequently asked questions section on any website. So a few questions with a few answers, and then you could even add a couple of testimonials. So if you already have somebody who has used the Media Diary, somebody who has gone through your online course, or you know, read your book, whatever it is that you're selling, if you have a couple of testimonials, you could even add them there. So you would have those questions and you would have the testimonials. And then you would have again the link where you give people a reminder that, hey, the offer expires soon and so forth. So that's already the pitch is a little bit harder. And then depending on, again, whether the window of time is 2 days, 3 days, it can even be 1 week, the offer you make is up to you. Basically, as the window of time is about to close, so the day before or so forth, you may send a final email to remind people that, hey, the bonuses are going away, or the discount is available for the next 24 hours, 16 hours, whatever the case may be. So to recap, Janet, because I know that this may have sound like a lot, but this is actually easier than one thinks. We have our premium product, so the thing we're going to sell, and that can be pretty much anything. Once we have that, we have to ask ourselves, that if that's the main course, what type of appetizer would a person be interested in? The appetizer is the free resource we create and that we offer in exchange of people's email addresses. As people download the resource, we get their email. They're automatically put into an email sequence that takes place automatically. And my advice is to have an email sequence where you deliver emails daily or every 2 days so that you really hit the iron when it's still hot. And as people go through the sequence, they get a clear understanding of how to use the free resource they downloaded. They get to know a little bit more about who you are and what you do. They get more value from you. They learn more from whatever it is that you've offered. You provide them with additional information, so forth, maybe an additional free resource or something like that. And then we start to make our soft pitch. So we said, up until now, I showed you how to do this. Basically, I showed you the appetizer. Now I'm going to help you with the next step. So I'm going to show you the not the appetizer, not the main course, but what's in between. So I'm going to help you more. And then I'm going to tease and say, hey, if you have enjoyed this, you're going to love what's coming up tomorrow, because I've created this book, this calendar, this PDF, this membership site, this video series, whatever you have created and you sell, that is going to help you do this. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you a sneak peek, or I'm going to take you behind the scenes or something like that. And not only you do that, but you tell people, look, the price usually is £30, £50, £100. But if you buy over the next couple of days, you get £30 off, 30% off, 10% off. You pay the full price, but you get this special bonus. And we don't stop there with our pitch. We then answer questions people may ask themselves. So if somebody is on the fence, it's probably because he or she is asking some questions like, okay, what about this? What about that? So we try to help them by answering the questions. And if we want, in that email of the frequently asked questions, we could even add a PS where we say, do you have any questions that I didn't answer here? If so, just hit reply and let me know. I'm here to help you. We can do that. And once our funnel is ready to go, Janet, once we have connected all the dots, that's where the fun really starts. Because people may have been like, well, Janet, Jan, this sounds like some work. Isn't a funnel supposed to be something that works pretty much on autopilot? Yeah, and here's the cool thing. Once you've put in the work to build the funnel, the system, then you can really leverage the power of automation. You can leverage the power of funnels and include your funnel or the entry level of your funnel pretty much anywhere. So if you're using Instagram, you could say, okay, I'm going to use Instagram as the platform to get people into the entry level of the funnel. So if you have created these 5 calendar dates every women entrepreneur should have on their calendar, you could have a couple of images that you post on Instagram over the next few days, and you say, hey, if you're interested in this, check out the link in my bio. And when the people click the link in the bio, they are directed to the page where they can download the free resource. If Facebook is your thing, or you want to use Facebook ads or any other type of paid advertising, great. Make sure that the ad directs people or drives traffic toward the page where people can download the free resource. Do you go on podcasts? No problem. If it's okay for the host, you can mention that downloadable resource on the podcast. And when somebody downloads the free resource, they are automatically put into the email sequence. And at the end of the email sequence, we can have the pitch of our premium product. So basically, once we have set up our sales funnels, our number one job is to get people on the page where they can download the free resource. And here's the thing. People download content, but many entrepreneurs, digital marketers, create one thing that people download, and then that's it. They're like, oh, well, yeah, I have these things I sell, but yeah, maybe at some point I will make a Christmas sale or Black Friday sale, whatever. But if you have a sales funnel in place, you may potentially literally make money while you sleep, because everything after you've set it up happens on autopilot. And again, doesn't matter where your ideal customer is, once your funnel is ready to go, you can reach out to them on any platform, whether that's a blog post, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook advertising. It's incredible, really, and really, really powerful.
And then one thing you can do is you can create different landing pages, can't you? So you can see, you could have the same opt-in, so you could have that calendar. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly done this with mine, where I've got different landing pages for my Facebook advertising, but also I've got a different landing page that I use in my show notes. And I know this all can all seem a little bit overwhelming when you first start. Like, I've been doing this stuff for years, but that can be a great way. And you can track then, can't you, which is the best source. So, you know, are you getting mm-hmm. the best leads and engagement from Facebook, or is Instagram working better? And I mean, personally, I find that kind of thing quite fun, but I know it's not for everybody. And the other thing, I guess, to mention is that once you've got this basic funnel thing worked out and you've built your first funnel, then you can create a whole series of funnels. So I mean, one of the things that we do, for example, is that if they book onto a particular event, or people who buy my diary before Christmas, what we were doing is once they bought the diary, we're then putting them onto a funnel for a very relevant event. So an event that I was running, which was about media planning for the coming year, and we were offering a discount. So if people have bought the diary, we then put them into another funnel, which sounds awful when you say it like that. But, you know, these are people who are actually clearly interested in this topic, because they've not only gone through the sales funnel, but they've bought the product, and then say, you know, you've bought this now, you could do this yourself, but actually, I'm running this really fab event, and if you can get to London, you know, why not come along? And obviously, it's, again, there's another funnel to build or whatever, but I think that the more experienced you get at doing this kind of thing, I don't know about you, but I see funnel opportunities everywhere.
Absolutely. And sorry, Janet, can I add one thing on this topic?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
one thing that actually I forgot to touch upon that is very important is that somebody may be, okay, Jan, Janet, I have 3-4 different products, services. How should I go about them? My advice is, whenever possible, have one funnel for one specific product. So try to be really laser focused, that if a person is signaling interest in a specific topic because they downloaded a resource that revolves around the topic, then don't try to sell them something else that may not even be related by saying, hey, I know I have this book, but I also have this other thing and I do coaching. And don't forget about joining my membership site. And did I tell you about this online course I have? Because people are gonna feel super overwhelmed. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, I mentioned the fact that an email sequence can even be 30 emails long. And the way to go about, if that's something that some people may be like, oh, what? That sounds interesting. I want to learn more about it. Is to, instead of giving a downloadable resource like a PDF, for example, is giving people access to an email course, also known as challenge. So it could be something like, I don't know, the 30-day Get More Press Coverage Challenge. And the tagline would be something like, yeah, enroll for this free course. And over the last 30 days, I'm going to share some tips and strategies on how you can get more press coverage in a month. So the idea there is that every day, a person, once they sign up for the free email course, every day they would get a daily lesson. And that's why the length would be extended. And why the challenge or email course works well is that if I come across your 30-day challenge, Janet, and I see that it's a 30-day challenge or it's a 30-day email course, and you tell me you're going to get daily emails, I know that for the next 30 days, I can expect an email from you. And I won't feel like, this person is just emailing me. On the other hand, if I simply sign up for a downloadable thing, and for the next 30 days, I keep getting daily emails from you, I'm going to feel like, whoa, this person is really pushing whatever he or she is doing down my throat. So keep in mind that if you want to have a relatively long email sequence, it is possible in the form of an email course or challenge, but make sure that you say how many day long the challenge is, and you let people know that for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, whatever, you're going to get daily tips delivered to your email or something like that, so that a person can expect and they are ready.
Yeah, and there was a good example of this back in episode 117. I interviewed Natalie Lussier, and actually it was one of the first online courses I did. I did her 30-day email list building challenge. So if anyone wants to see how that works, I would really recommend to opting into that. Or maybe you've got one that you might recommend, Jan. But I always think it's quite a good idea to opt into other people's challenges and things. And I do it all the time just to see how they work and how they put content together. And, you know, you can funnel them off into different inboxes, can't you, if your inbox is feeling a bit overwhelmed. But I think it's really, really interesting to see how other people put these kind of things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I do the same.
And one other thing I just wanted to touch on, I'm conscious of time. You've given so much value and this has been brilliant, but I've got a few questions that have kind of been niggling at me the whole way. One thing I wanted to mention, I guess, as part of your funnel is the email that you can send, which is the, I noticed you've been checking out. I mean, we do this on Infusionsoft. We sent one of these this morning, actually. So we noticed people have been looking at one of my products. We had 86 people that we noticed had looked but hadn't bought. So just sending people that sort of last nudge and say, look, we noticed you've been looking at this. Is there anything else that, you know, have you got any outstanding questions, or is there anything else that we can do to help you make a decision or whatever like that? I'm presuming you'd say it can be a good idea to build that into your campaign, that sort of email.
Yeah, absolutely. And the email like that can work very well also to understand why somebody didn't buy, because as some people don't buy and you give them an opportunity to tell you why, you may identify trends. So some people could tell you, for example, well, I didn't exactly understand what I would have gotten by buying the media diary. Or somebody could have said, well, I thought it was too expensive, or something along those lines. Is definitely going to be useful. And I've noticed you checked, you know, whatever the product is definitely something worth experimenting with, because it's something that could even allow you to build a next funnel. So for example, can we make another example, Janet, real quick?
Yeah, do you want me to give you an example of something
else? Sure. Yeah.
So I've got a membership community. So what we sent out to the 86 this morning, I'm relaunching my membership community in January. It's going to have new resources, new levels of support. And we noticed 86 people had checked out the sales page for this. And this is like it's been really, really popular. Actually, it's a pre-enrollment offer that I've made to people. So if you enroll early, if you pay up front rather than going for the monthly installments, you get a great deal and you get a one-to-one consultation with me to kick off the new year. Mm-hmm. So it's been very popular, but we noticed that we'd seen 86 people who looked at it and hadn't bought. So is that a good example for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you're here with Janet and I and you're one of those 86 people, we are talking to you. So make sure to go to the show notes page and I'm sure you're going to find there link to the community.
It's a soulful PR studio. Don't miss out.
And join it. I mean, you know, we are at the beginning of the year, so you have to make sure that 2017 is going to rock. Yeah, so I've noticed you have checked type of email works very well both ways. So the first case is what you have said, Janet. So where we are selling something and we notice that some people express interest, because, you know, if somebody checks a page, is because they are interested in it. So what we can do there is to try to see why those people are still on the fence. So we could do it in a really open way where we could even record a quick video where I say, hey, is Jan here? I simply wanted to say that I'm here. I've noticed you checked out the membership site coming up. I've noticed that you've checked it out. So I'm here. If you have any questions, hit reply, I'm here. So that's one way to go about it. The second way would be more toward the frequently asked questions email that we talked about early on. So you would kind of make believe or come up with questions you think a person may have. So they check your membership site, but they don't join it. There may be some questions they have. So in that case, you could say, hey, I've noticed you haven't joined. You may be wondering about this, and then you would write the question and you would write the answer and so forth. And you could even say, one thing you could even do, and that's, again, it's something that is completely up to you, is to make an offer within the offer. So for somebody who expressed interest, you could say, look, I've noticed you checked out the page a couple of times. I told you the offer expires in 2 days. If you take me up on that offer, in addition to that, I'm going to give you, and then you say whatever. So an additional coaching call or the special, or let's say the digital version of the media diary or whatever that is. So there you know that you aren't just making a random offer. You're basically giving an extra incentive to somebody who has already expressed interest. So that's one way to go about it. The other way to go about it is if somebody actually buys your thing, and this works well, especially with one-off things. So something like the media diary or an online course or something like that. So not necessarily for a membership site. And if somebody joins, let's say if somebody buys the media diary, you could have a different funnel where at some point you say, hey, I've noticed you've joined the media diary and I'm working on this thing and I thought you may be interested in it. And because you're a client of mine, or, you know, as a thank you for buying the media diary, I will give you pre-access to this thing that is coming up at 50% off or something like that. So you can definitely make offers within offers or even build funnel after funnel. My advice is if you want to create a couple of funnels, don't have them triggered one after the other. So I buy something today and tomorrow you're going to pitch me the next thing. Absolutely not. Make sure that I actually have the time to really, you know, get as much value as possible from whatever you're selling. But then, sure, have some kind of system in mind that allows you to know who is somebody who bought from you, who is somebody who checked something you sold but didn't buy, and who is somebody who didn't express any interest whatsoever.
Well, thank you so much. I could actually talk to you all day because this stuff is so interesting, but I realize I do have to let you go. So thanks so much for sharing so much value. And I want to share as well that when you get these sales funnels set up with my diary, literally I was making sales all over Christmas. So on the days that I was, and this is not a big ticket item, but I was making sales all over Christmas, all over New Year, at times when I was kind of resting and taking a bit of time off. So when you get this stuff in place, it is a lot of work up front, but it really can work for you. And obviously, having listened to Jan, I know loads of things that I can improve for next year. I am just like buzzing now with ideas of how I can have a better funnel for next year. So thank you for that.
It's my pleasure. And Janet, can I point out one thing? That I'm actually, I had put together an email course on sales funnels and so forth. And I'm actually tweaking it a little bit for the beginning of the year. So if somebody is here with you and I and they enjoyed the conversation, by the time this interview go online, they can head over to, I know you're going to have it in the show notes. The link is janilunga.com/funnels. And then they can sign up. It's a free email course where basically we break down what we talked about here, and I really help you understand, okay, today you should focus on this specific aspect, tomorrow on that specific aspect, and so forth. So if somebody wants to combine the visual dimension with listening to this interview, yannilunga.com/funnels. I think it's definitely the next
Thank
step.
You. And my last question was going to be, where can we find you if we want to know more about you? But you've told us already, so that's brilliant. So thank you. So thanks so much for sharing so much great value. And if you've been listening, I just think that you've shared so much great value. And if your head is buzzing and you're feeling a little bit like it's about to explode, please feel reassured that that's perfectly normal. And I'd love to know how you get on putting some of these into practice. And I'm sure that Jan be the same. You'd love to know as well. So do get in touch and tell us what you thought of the episode and what you've put into practice and how it's worked. So thank you again, Jan. That's just been brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.